You're listening to a Castaway Media podcast. Find more great shows at castaway.media or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/castawaypodcasts.
From now on, unlike your parents were, you are the secret force of Retro Asylum.
Playing so fast, they're the only ones who can take you back in time. They play old games, they're more retro than J1 Optimus Prime. At home or the arcade for adventures in a fantasy zone. Pretty soon they'll be off on a mission. Come and hear them go.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you some important news. As you may know or may not be aware, Retro Asylum won the UK's Best Video Games Podcast in 2015. March on 1 year, and those awards are around again. However, we are not in that category again. We are in the world's best podcast of 2016. Unfortunately, because we're a little bit late to the game and getting ourselves nominated, we missed out on the UK's best podcast. But we're in the world's best podcast. As a listener to this show, we'd love you to vote for us. So, in the show notes, on our website, on our Twitter feed, on our Facebook, just find us at retroasylum.com, at retroasylum1, and search retroasylum on Facebook. You will find the voting details, how to do it. And this year, it's through Facebook. It's not quite as easy as last year. You need to go through Facebook. If you're not on Facebook, unfortunately, you can't vote. However, get on there, find us, Retro Asylum, on the podcast awards, and click vote. We really appreciate your support in trying to win it for a second year running, or at least get up there with the best of them. Thanks for your time, and now on with the show.
Welcome to this bite-sized episode of Retro Asylum. I'm your host, Mass, and today I'm going to take you on a trip down memory lane. We're going to visit a series of games that's very close to my heart, something that I've loved to play back in the day and I still love to play today. And the series I'm talking about is Lemmings. The first Lemmings game was released in 1991, so this year marks its 25th birthday. So I found it suiting to go through the series of games, or at least the games that I loved in the series, and tell you a little bit about the development history and such. So if you grew up in the 90s, you probably know Lemmings perfectly well. Those cute and cuddly little suicidal green-haired creatures walking happily along towards certain death and destruction. If it isn't for you playing the role of some kind of mind-controlling god, the Lemmings would all succeed in their collective suicide attempt. But luckily, you're here to guide the little critters along, making sure that they get safely through the many perilous levels. Or at least that some of them get through the many perilous levels. But before we dive in too deep, let's go back in time a little and find out where the idea for this excellent series of games came from. Lemmings was developed by Scottish developer DMA Design. And DMA Design's roots go back to the bedroom of one Dave Jones, who in 1987 started working on an Amiga title called Menace. Menace is a side-scrolling shooter, and it was the first DMA title that was released a year later in 1988, published by Psygnosis. Psygnosis, of course, also published the Lemmings games later on. The roots of DMA Design actually go back a few more years, though, when Dave met the future DMA Design members Russell Kay, Steve Hammond, and Mike Daly. Dave, Russell, Steve, and Mike all attended the same computer club in Dundee, and quickly found out that they were all interested in and quite talented at game design and programming. So along with artist Tony Smith, these were the first employees of DMA Design. Let's fast forward a few years, and now new guy Scott Johnston was working on the graphics for the DMA title called Walker, and he was getting to the part where he was drawing and animating the little men that would be attacking the Walker. Scott was designing the men in the 16x16 pixel boxes, but Mike Daly insisted that one could do realistic sprites in less, perhaps in as little as 8x8 pixels. So one lunchtime, he borrowed an unused Amiga at the office and drew the little men that would later become the Lemmings. Seeing the potential in these tiny sprites, graphics artist Gary Timmons took over and made some improvements to the movement patterns of the men to make them more fluid. And seeing these funny little men walk across the screen, Russell K. laughed, "There's a game in that," and went to do a small demo. This demo was shown to Psygnosis in late 1989 and given the green light to go on producing the game that would launch the Lemmings franchise. Dave Jones did the basic programming of Lemmings on the Amiga, but most of the levels were designed by Mike Daly, Steve Hammond, Scott Johnston, and Gary Timmons. The level editor in Lemmings was heavily influenced by Deluxe Paint, the graphics editor software of choice back then, and was built into the game, making it very easy to develop and playtest new levels. So for the people at DMA Design, it almost became a game in itself, designing new levels and challenging each other to play them. At one point, when Lemmings was almost done, Dave offered everyone at the office £10 for each level that made it into the final game, so people would spend time at night trying to make great levels. DMA would send levels to Psygnosis for testing, and they'd also be offering criticism and advice. They too were becoming experts in playing these levels, and this labor of love with the level design really shows, and is, I think, an important part of the success of Lemmings. Lemmings is a puzzle game at heart. At the beginning of a level, a trapdoor opens and out falls a steady stream of lemmings. Once they hit the ground, they start walking in a fixed direction, and unless they reach some insurmountable obstacle, they simply keep on walking, more often than not plummeting to their death by walking straight over the edge of a steep cliff or otherwise ending up dead by walking right into a trap. These little lemmings thus depend on your ability to guide them, so that they may safely traverse the levels and find the exit at the end. You guide the lemmings by assigning them one of 8 skills. And some of the skills are permanent, like the climber that makes a lemming capable of scaling a vertical wall, or the floater, which it's another permanent skill that makes the lemming able to survive a fall from any height. So normally if a lemming falls from a high place, it gets squished, but this little fella carries an umbrella that he uses as a parachute when falling. So combined, the climber and the floater creates what's called an athlete. And an athlete is perfect for sending forward in the level and reaching places that the other lemmings can't reach yet, and then building bridges and digging holes and tunnels so that you create a perfect path for all of your other lemmings to reach the exit. The other skills are the basher, that is able to dig a horizontal tunnel through any soft material. We have the digger, who just digs a hole where he stands, straight down, and he keeps digging until he reaches the end of the stuff he's digging through or some hard surface. There's the miner, who can dig tunnels diagonally downwards, and there's the builder, who can build small bridges, also at an angle, not straight forward, but upwards at an angle. And you have the blocker, who blocks the way for any other lemmings who come there, and when they reach a blocker, they will just resolutely turn around and start walking in the opposite direction. That's also a permanent skill. Well, almost. You can actually release a blocker by making him fall. So by removing the ground beneath his feet using a digger or a miner, you can release him again. And in that way, you can save a blocker who would otherwise be nuked at the end of a level in order to finish the level. And finally, we have the bomber. So the bomber is handed a small time bomb, and after 5 seconds, marked by a countdown just above the little critter's head, he explodes. The explosion creates a small hole in the ground, and bombers can thus be used to create small holes, blowing up small walls, etc. You really need to learn how to use every one of these skills if you want to progress in the wonderful world of Lemmings. The levels are puzzles that you have to figure out, and while the designers have most likely had a specific solution in mind when creating a level, you can often solve it in a couple of different ways. Before a level begins, you're told how many levels you have to save in order to progress to the next level, but if you're anything like me, you'll always strive to save every single lemming, or at least save as many lemmings as humanly possible. Some have to be sacrificed as bombers and blockers. Lemmings is a puzzle game with a big element of stress. It's not a game where you sit there watching and contemplating a solution for a long time. You have to act, and act quickly, as the little lemmings will just keep on moving while you're trying to act out your master plan. Luckily, you can pause the action and have a look around so that you may plan ahead, but once you resume the game, you better be ready. Because this is all part of the amazing fun of playing Lemmings. No matter how hard you try and no matter how quickly you try to react and hand out skills to your lemmings, some of them will die in the process. The levels are divided into 4 sets. There's Fun, Tricky, Taxing, and Mayhem. They each have 30 levels. Fun contains the tutorial levels, so you should only choose these if you're new to Lemmings, or if you just want to relax and enjoy yourself while watching the funny little guys walk around on the screen. So Tricky is a lot more fun to play, and already at Taxing, the levels get really hard. I have to admit that I never finished Lemmings back in the day. Some of the levels on Mayhem are incredibly hard, but this is a game I'll have to finish someday. Lemmings is a game full of charm and funny references, so here are some fun facts for you about the first Lemmings game. The exploding lemming animation was actually based on the explosion from the Williams arcade classic Defender. There are levels that sees our beloved Lemmings walking around in graphics from other Amiga classics from Psygnosis. Classics such as Menace, Shadow of the Beast 1 and 2, and Awesome. Did you know that there was actually an arcade version of Lemmings in the works that sadly got cancelled? I'd like to have seen that, actually. Another fun little tidbit is that the voice of the Lemmings is actually Scott and Brian Johnston's mother. They must have recorded her screaming and whatever the Lemmings say and then pitched it up, I guess. So Lemmings was released in February of 1991, and its immediate success, of course, meant that another release in the series was inevitable. DMA Design quickly put out an expansion pack called Oh No, More Lemmings that was released at the tail end of 1991. This expansion pack contained 100 new levels, divided into 5 difficulties called Tame, Crazy, Wild, Wicked, and Havoc. It was essentially the exact same game but with new levels, so this release was for all the die-hard Lemmings fans who had already finished all the levels of the first game. That Lemmings was a huge success can't be disputed. I mean, just take a look at the number of platforms that the game was released on. According to Wikipedia's article on Lemmings, it's regarded as one of the most widely ported video games. So here's a quick and probably not exhaustive list of platforms that the original Lemmings was released on. Are you ready? Amiga, Atari ST, ZX Spectrum, MS-DOS, Super Nintendo, 3DO, the Acorn Archimedes, Apple II, Apple Macintosh, Amiga CD TV, Commodore 64, NES and the Sega Master System, Sega Mega Drive, TurboGrafx-16, Philips CDI, the Sharp X68000, and I guess the list probably goes on and on. So apart from all of the ports, Lemmings has also been remade a number of times. Like for example the PlayStation Portable version from 2006 that contained the original 120 levels along with some bonus content. And the more recent Lemmings Touch for the PS Vita released in 2014. Apart from the remakes and ports, the Lemmings formula is of course also being copied a lot. Most recently in the game called Flockers that was done by Team 17 in 2014, so Lemmings, a game that was released in 1991, continues to be relevant to this day. That's quite a legacy. But let's move on to the next game in the series. So the second installment in the Lemmings series was released only 2 years after the original Lemmings game, in 1993. And it was developed by a larger team this time around, probably because of DMA Design having grown considerably after the success of Lemmings. The core team behind the first Lemmings is still there though, with Dave Jones doing some coding, Gary Timmons still doing graphics, Brian Johnston doing the music, and Mike Daly being set to work on the Super Nintendo version. Lemmings 2 tried a lot of new things, but having the team behind the original present meant that it retained the core feeling of a Lemmings game. At least that's how I see it. I know not everybody agrees with that. Lemmings 2, The Tribes, actually has a story. I remember buying this back in the day for my Amiga 500 and being very impressed that the entire first disc of this 3-disc game was just the intro. In the animated intro, an older lemming called the Storykeeper tells a young lemming about the prophecy. After being guided through the levels of the first game, the lemmings came to the land they're currently inhabiting. There, the 12 tribes of lemmings divided a sacred relic called the Guiding Talisman between them and then moved out into separate parts of the land. Aided by the power of this talisman, the tribes prospered and grew, but now an impending darkness is coming, and the tribes need to be joined once more into a single flock of lemmings so that they, using the combined strength of the reassembled talisman, may once again march on and find a new home. The story ends off with a third wall-breaking moment where the storykeeper and the young lemming looks at you and asks you to guide them like you did once before. It's a, for the time, impressive intro that awed us gamers back in the day, but looking at it now, I'm sure most people won't be too impressed. So if you just want to get into the game, simply pop in the second disc and it's also bootable, you get straight into the action. Like the original, this game has 120 levels, but this time there is no difficulty level. Instead, the levels are divided up so that each of the 12 tribes have 10 levels to traverse. You choose amongst the tribes on a circular map, where each tribe begins on the outer rim of the map, and their position being marked by the talisman piece that they own. And for each level you complete, the talisman piece moves closer to the center of the map, finally joining with the other pieces in the middle, and thus reassembling the talisman. The 12 tribes that you need to guide to the middle of the map are the Beach Lemmings, Sports Lemmings, Shadow Lemmings, Cave Lemmings, Space Lemmings, Polar Lemmings, Highland Lemmings, Circus Lemmings, Classic Lemmings, Medieval Lemmings, Egyptian Lemmings, and Outdoor Lemmings. That's a whole lot of lemmings, eh? So the lemmings of the different tribes all look slightly different to each other. The Beach Lemmings with their suntan, and the Shadow Lemmings sporting darker tones of blue and green, and the Highland Lemmings with their red hair, and so on and so forth. But the small variations in the looks of the lemmings are nothing compared to the vast difference in the levels they go through. Each set of 10 levels take place on the individual tribe's home turf, and these locations are very different and pose different challenges. In the sports lemmings, for example, your lemmings can jump on trampolines, and at the beach your lemmings can swim and sail in a rubber dinghy. The cave lemmings can interact with huge reptiles living in their caves, and the circus lemmings will climb into nearby cannons and fire themselves across the level. These are only a small handful of the many inventive things awaiting throughout the 120 wonderful levels of Lemmings 2. The biggest change, though, is not in the addition of the 12 lemming tribes. No, it's in the skills available when you're guiding the little critters. So where the original game had 8 skills, the blocker, digger, miner, builder, climber, floater, basher, and bomber, Lemmings 2 has a breathtaking 51 different skills. Some of these are more useful than others, of course, but they're all good fun to use, and they make it possible to solve the levels in many different ways. You only have 8 skills available in each level, but these are switched around every level to keep things fresh. Some of these skills belong to a particular tribe, like for example the Classic tribe that only used the classic 8 skills from the first game, but many of the new skills are shared amongst the tribes. This addition of new skills is by some viewed as the problem with the game, while others, myself included, love the challenge and fun that these new skills bring to the table. So remarkably, Mike Daly himself is quoted as saying that he thought there were too many skills, but I disagree. The many wacky and not always immediately useful skills are just what makes Lemmings 2 so special. Some of the new skills make use of a new tool you have available, a fan. So using this fan, you can direct where your flying lemmings go, and there are quite a few different flying lemmings, and where the new Twister lemming goes as well when he's digging tunnels for you. The fan takes a bit of getting used to, but once you've mastered it, you can, for example, smoothly control where your jetpack lemming goes, sending him to places the others can't reach, so that he can prepare a path for his fellow lemmings. As I mentioned earlier, you must guide each of the 12 tribes through 10 levels in order to meet with the other tribes in the middle of the map. At the outset, each tribe consists of 60 lemmings, no more and no less. And in a new twist to the Lemmings games, these are the lemmings that you have available to get through all 10 levels. If you lose 20 lemmings on the first level, then you'll only have 40 left to get through the remaining 9 levels. This little twist means that you'll have to be careful and attempt to get as many lemmings through each level, because you never know just how many you'll need to get through the next one. That's a marvelous addition, if you ask me. In my opinion, Lemmings 2 The Tribes is an excellent addition to the Lemmings series, and while I know it's not as loved as the first Lemming game, I still enjoy it just as much. Perhaps even a little more, as I seem to always put Lemmings 2 on when I want a quick nostalgia fix. The third Lemmings game was released just 2 short years after Lemmings 2, and this installment is named All New World of Lemmings, or Lemmings Chronicles if you're in the United States. And this game sees the departure from the classic small lemming sprites that everyone had come to know and love. A design decision that DMA Design knew would be controversial, so much that in the manual of the game they start off with the words, "They're not bigger, they're just closer." On the Amiga side, All New World of Lemmings is an AGA game, meaning that it was now an Amiga 1200 exclusive, or an Amiga 4000 for that matter, but who could afford those? So it boasted a high resolution, which is probably what made DMA go for the new sprite design for the Lemmings. Personally, I really like the new sprites. They're detailed, have very, very many different variations. Like, for example, when you place a blocker close to an edge, he's balancing on the edge, trying not to fall down. and they're just all around well drawn, I think. Sure, like most other Lemming fans, initially when I booted up the game, I went through a short period of thinking, damn, this isn't Lemmings. But that soon passed. So please give the little buggers a chance, even though they look different this time around. At the end of Lemmings 2, the tribes, the 12 Lemming tribes all boarded this flying ship and started out on a journey to find their new homeland. For some reason, only three of those tribes are on the flying ship at the moment, the classic, Egyptian, and Shadow Lemmings tribes. But let's forget that for a moment, because the rest were supposed to be added later on via data disks. The Lemmings flew along for a long time, never really finding a place to land that would satisfy their needs. But then, one fateful day, a young Lemming called Jimmy caused havoc in the machine room because he was trying to use the Lemming talisman, you know, the one you collected all the pieces of in the last game, to add new flavor to his chewing gum. Don't ask me why he thought that was a good idea. So something goes wrong, though, and the Ark, or the flying ship, is forced to land in a hostile new world, inhabited by a host of dangerous creatures. So now it's your task, once again, to guide the Lemmings through 90 new puzzling levels, to find a place that they can call home. Like in Lemmings 2, you start out with 20 Lemmings in each tribe, and if you lose a Lemming, it'll be gone forever. But in a new edition, though, you can now save wild Lemmings in some of the levels, so that you can build up your stock of Lemmings to help you progress through the later levels. The bigger sprites are not the only thing that's been changed in this iteration on the Lemmings mold. So in an entirely new move, the skill system has been completely reworked. This time around, there are only 5 skills available. Walk, block, jump, use, and drop. The first 3 are pretty self-explanatory, I guess, but the last 2, use and drop, tie into the game's new tool system. So while there are only 5 skills, your Lemmings are still capable of a lot of different actions, but these are now performed using tools instead. So tools are stored in little boxes that are strewn around the levels, and only the Lemming who picked up the tool can actually use it. So once a tool has been picked up, the Lemming is carrying it around, he can apply the use skill to start using the tool, or he can drop the tool for another Lemming to pick up by using the drop skill. You have to note that the tools have a limited use in this game, though. So if you're giving 8 spades, you can only dig 8 times. Not simply until you run out of material to dig through like in the earlier games. So you have to learn to be economical with your tools. The game has a total of 10 tools that you need to master in order to get through the 90 quite difficult levels that it contains. So these tools are the bomb. A bomb is dropped by the feet of the Lemming using it, whereafter he quite sensibly walks away. And after 5 seconds, the bomb explodes, harming any Lemmings or creatures unlucky enough to be caught within its blast radius. So I just said creatures there, and I haven't told you about those yet, but I'll get to those later on. There are foes that the Lemmings need to dispatch of in this game. There's also a grenade that works like a bomb, but this one is thrown and bounces around the level for a couple of seconds before it blows. Then there are these horizontal suction cups that can be used to climb up walls, like the old climber skill. And there's the vertical suction cups that can be used to climb on ceilings to get across gaps. And then, in a reference to Street Fighter, Ryu's Hadouken or Hadouken also makes an appearance in this game. So by using this ball of energy, the little Lemmings can dispatch of their foes in an efficient manner. There's a spade, of course, can be used to dig through soft terrain, and you can dig in many different directions this time around. You can choose, whenever you tell the Lemming to use a spade, you can tell him which direction to dig in, and he can dig in pretty much any direction except upwards. So that'll be 7 directions in total, I guess. There's also a bag of bricks, and you can use that to build bridges. But like the spade, you can also use it in seven different directions. So you can build in any direction except down, of course. There's a swimmer skill, so if a Lemming that has the swimmer tool picked up, he falls into water. He won't drown, he can just swim instead. And there's, of course, also the umbrella skill, or the umbrella tool, so that he can float if he falls off a cliff. And finally, there's the clock, and the clock is simply used to gain an additional minute to complete the level. So as in the earlier games, some tools are more useful than others, but you'll need to learn how to use all of them if you want to finish all New World of Lemmings. Another big change to the gameplay is the introduction of these different creatures that I mentioned. There are good and bad creatures. There are 4 kinds of creatures. There are potato beasts, psycho buzzards, the Lemmings Fatale, and moles. So most of the creatures are bad news for the Lemmings, and they'll hunt them down and try to turn them into tasty little snacks. or like the limb fatale, they'll attract your lemmings and lead them into peril. Creatures can be killed using bombs, grenades, or the Hadouken skill, and you often need to act quite fast when dispatching of these buggers. The mole is not really evil, though. He just really likes to dig through dirt. If you're clever, you can guide him by putting obstacles in his way and make him dig tunnels that you can use. The mole will only dig through soft ground, so by building walls of brick in front of him, you can alter his direction. All New World of Lemmings added more fine-grained control over your lemmings. So a blocker can be released by using the walk skill, and when using the walk skill on an already walking lemming, he resolutely turns around and starts walking in the opposite direction. You can ask your lemmings to jump over obstacles or over a blocker lemming, which is extremely handy for releasing a single lemming at the time. And the tools can only be used by the lemmings that picks them up, meaning that you need to control that exact lemming when you need something done. Or drop off the tool for another lemming to pick up, of course. And these changes make All New World of Lemmings a completely new game in some respects. But I, for one, enjoy the changes that they've made, and I love this third installment in the series. To make it easier to control your lemmings, the team from DMA Design has made a very usable interface. So first off, you can quickly switch between the five skills using the F1 to 5 keys. And secondly, you can cycle between lemmings that hold tools by clicking the right mouse button, which color codes the selected lemming red and makes sure that he's the one receiving an order when being clicked with the left mouse button, regardless of whether he's walking amidst countless other lemmings at the time. All New World of Lemmings was apparently never a big commercial success because the data disks that were supposed to deliver levels for the missing 9 tribes never appeared. Personally, I really like it, but as I mentioned in the beginning, I had to stick with it for a little while to break away from the initial annoyings of it feeling so different from the other two Lemmings games. But once you've gotten used to the new interface, there's a real gem of a game to be discovered here though, so if you're a fan of the Lemmings series like I am, I recommend you give it a go. So All New World of Lemmings was to be the last Lemmings game developed by DMA Design, but that didn't mark the end of the Lemmings franchise though, as Psygnosis acquired the license and continued the series. The first game released that was not developed by DMA Design was 3D Lemmings, a game that in some respects marks the return to the classic Lemmings gameplay, while it in others totally changes everything about how Lemmings is played. This installment in the series was developed by someone called Clockwork Games. 3D Lemmings, as the name implies, sees our beloved Lemmings embark on a journey into the fabled third dimension. There's not much story to be told this time around. In fact, there's none whatsoever. The game starts off with a, for the time, very pretty 3D animated intro, where we witness the 2D lemmings escape from the confines of a computer to appear in glorious 3D. So gone is the story of the 12 tribes and the magical talisman and the guiding spirit. All that's left is pure puzzle gameplay that we all know and love from the original Lemmings, but this time in full 3D. I don't think there's a lot of love out there for Lemmings 3D, and I remember back in the day I wouldn't even touch this game. I just looked at it and said, it's in 3D, what's up with that? I want a 2D Lemmings game, and then I didn't give it any more of my time. But I'm actually glad I picked it up today, or these past couple of weeks, because it's been a real joy to get into this game and actually start playing it. I've been playing the PlayStation version, by the way. So the skills of the Lemmings are, with a single exception, the same as they were in the very first game. You got a blocker that turns lemmings around, a bomber that explodes after 5 seconds, a builder who builds upwards at an angle, a basher that can dig horizontally, and a miner that digs downwards at an angle. And of course the digger that simply digs holes downwards. And then you have these two permanent skills as well as you had before, the climber and the floater. So these are the 8 original skills from Lemmings, but in order to enter the third dimension, a new skill has been added, and that's the turner. The turner can make the lemmings turn left or right, instead of simply walking back as they do when they encounter a blocker. And that makes it possible to move in 3 dimensions, so if they meet a turner they can walk into the screen, for example. So apart from these skills, the environment that the lemmings move around in contain a number of objects that you can use, such as springs and trampolines and slippery blocks and rope slides and teleporters and mud and much more. You need to learn how to interact with all of these in order to progress through the levels, but luckily the game has a very good practice mode. It takes a little time, but I really, if you want to get into Lemmings 3D, You have to play all of the practice levels, and then you're taken gently through all of the game's skills and different objects and obstacles. So I recommend that you spend your first 30 minutes or so going through this practice mode, as it will not only teach you how to use the skills, it will also train you in using the user interface, which can be quite challenging at first. The controls definitely take a bit of getting used to, but after a while, they're not bad at all. I played 3D Lemmings on a PlayStation, as I said, and it uses every single button on the controller. The D-pad controls the little crosshair that you use to select lemmings and click on buttons on the on-screen interface. The four buttons on the opposite side of the controller, you know, the cross and square and triangle and circle, they're used to pan the camera left and right and forwards and backwards. And actions are performed by pressing R1. And if you hold down L1, you can use the D-pad to turn the camera left and right or move it up and down. You can switch between available skills on L2 and R2, and you can speed up the game using the select button, and pause the game on the start button. Did you get all that? That's good. You're gonna need it if you want to play 3D Lemmings. These controls may seem a bit hard to cope with in the beginning, but after going through the practice levels, you'll feel right at home. One thing that you need to learn immediately is to pause the game, because when the game is paused, you can't give orders to your lemmings, but you can still move your camera around to your heart's content, while all of your lemmings will patiently wait for you to reach just the right spot for issuing the next order. The designers definitely knew that the controls would be a bit clumsy in 3D, and that this could lead to some very hectic gameplay, so they therefore not only included the possibility of moving the camera around while paused, they also included what I found is a brilliant gameplay addition, replays. So when you fail a level and you restart it, initially the level is started in replay mode. In replay mode, the lemmings act out all of the orders that you gave them the last time, so that you can just lean back and watch your perfect plan being acted out right up until that point where you failed the last time. So once you press a button on the controller, the replay is stopped and you take control right where it left off. And this way you can work through the levels step by step, experimenting along the way without losing any progress at all. That's simply brilliant gameplay. Once again, the levels are divided into difficulty levels. The difficulty levels fun, tricky, taxing, and mayhem, like in the original Lemmings game. There are a total of 80 new levels to get through, and you'll have your work cut out for you if you decide to complete all of them. The puzzle design is very good, albeit somewhat based on trial and error this time around, but so was the first Lemmings game, and that's part of the charm, I find. And actually, the replay feature means that it isn't that bad in this game. If you enjoyed the first Lemmings game and you have a hankering for some more brilliant puzzling, 3D Lemmings is definitely for you, as this game boasts some very enjoyable puzzles, and like all Lemmings games, you'll feel genuinely clever every time you solve a level. 3D Lemmings was released on the PC, PlayStation, and Sega Saturn. If you're interested in checking it out, I recommend that you pick up the PlayStation or Saturn version, as the PC version is very hard to get running on a modern PC. I hope you will give this game a chance, as I find this game doesn't get the love it deserves. 3D Lemmings is not my favorite Lemmings game, but it's a damn good game nonetheless, with high quality puzzle design and bucket loads of charm to boot. Lemmings 3D is the last game I'm going to cover here in this bite-sized episode, otherwise I guess it'll going to be far too long. So there are more Lemmings games out there. There were a couple of spin-off games released also in 1995, Lemmings Paintball and The Adventures of Lomax, which was a platformer. And the main series also continued in the year 2000 with Lemmings Revolution, and I already mentioned a couple of Lemmings releases on the PlayStation Portable and PlayStation Vita platform as well. So the Lemmings series seems to be still alive. To make sure that this episode was not just me rambling on about Lemmings all the time, I've asked a good friend of mine to tell us a little bit about his memories playing Lemmings back in the day. So sit back and enjoy, I'm sure you're going to like this one.
Hello, it's Paul Driscoll here, aka The Drisk. Now, my memories of Lemmings was that time I first discovered it, and it really was a total, complete, pleasant surprise. You see, despite buying several Amiga magazines around that time for my new Amiga, there seemed very little buzz over the game in any previews. So when I finally got my hands on that game and booted it up and discovered its endearing nature and as addictive as hell unique gameplay, it was a total out of the blue surprise to me. And I really don't think that total surprise could ever happen in this social media internet fueled world in which we live. I still remember that first time when I tried that nuke button, not knowing what it did, and watched the poor critters do that mass explosion after the ominous 5-second countdown. I knew rather mischievously at that point as I watched the brutality of it all that I absolutely adored this game. Soon, as I continued to play, I was becoming a Lemmings maestro, and it's one of the few games where I did literally play non-stop throughout the night, only finally succumbing next morning when I couldn't keep my eyes open. I'm not sure what makes the game so darn addictive. Yes, it's the cute critters bounding across the screen. Yes, it's the insanely catchy music of popular old copyright-free tunes. But, you know, I think it is simply the great gameplay. It's that perfect balance of puzzle and fast reflexes that games seldom both require you to have and possess. And soon as the levels progress and you get past the easy ones, it really becomes a battle of true skill and thought as you try to save as many as you can. And make one single mistake, one click in the wrong place, and you could be left with a screaming suicide of the poor green-haired, fuzzy ones as they fall to their doom. I still remember that busy box art cover as well, full of hundreds of lemmings trying to make their way up the mountains. And that ominous warning in the bottom right of the box saying, "We are not responsible for loss of sanity, loss of hair, and loss of sleep." Well, at least I still have my hair, I guess. Now, since that time, I've been a Lemmings nut, buying every sequel, every port I could possibly lay my hands on. Incidentally, of all the versions that I own, outside of the Amiga and the Atari ST versions, the one that I have a lot of time for is the PlayStation 1 version, which has Lemmings and Oh No More Lemmings on the CD. It's a great version with a tastefully, slightly enhanced graphics and CD-enhanced music of all those chip tunes that you hear on the Amiga. It's a great version if you don't own an Amiga or ST. So there you go. That's my Lemmings memories.
So thank you, Paul, for that contribution. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are missing you as a host on the Retro Asylum podcast already. So thank you for sending us this small snippet to use for this bite-sized episode. As I mentioned earlier, 1991 saw the release of the first Lemming game. So Lemmings as a series turns 25 this year. And it's a series of games that have had and will continue to have great influence on the gaming world. So we here at Retro Asylum would like to wish Lemmings a happy birthday, and we look forward to the next 25 years of Lemming greatness. Before I go, though, I'd like to just do a quick shout-out to some retro gaming podcasts that I follow. So first off, to my mates Alex, Jeff, and John from the Retro Game Squad podcast. I know they're ending their show soon. They had their last episode coming out in September, I think. But they have done some excellent stuff, these guys. And they have a big back catalog of episodes that you can go through. And I'm sure you'll find a lot of stuff to love there. Then there's the RGDS, the Retro Gaming Discussion Show. Andy Goodeye and the guys talking about retro games. That's a podcast I always enjoy. And there's Tenpence Arcade, Maximum Power Up, and I'm sure there are a lot of very good retro gaming podcasts out there that I'm forgetting right now, but please spread the love, guys. Remember to listen to Retro Asylum, but listen to these other guys as well. That's it for me for this time. I hope you've enjoyed this little bite-sized episode about Lemmings, and until next time, stay retro.
This was a Castaway Media production. Find more great podcasts on our network. Visit castaway.media.